With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. So the mayor of Ocala, Florida, making headlines because he proclaimed a Confederate Memorial Day. And there are people that are saying, wait a minute, you can't have a Confederate Memorial Day. That's racist. You're part of the KKK. Well, the mayor of Ocala, Florida, Kent Ginn is his name. He has rebutted those, quote, ridiculous accusations that he's a racist after approving a Confederate Memorial Day. That observance recognizes the United States that seceded in 1861, the Confederate States of America, and the soldiers who sacrificed their lives and who fought in part to maintain slavery. Quote, for anybody to say that I'm a racist or a member of the KKK, that's the most ridiculous thing I've heard, said Ocala, Florida Mayor Kent Ginn. I am not, repeat, not in the KKK. I never have been, I never will be, and I despise and hate everything that organization stands for. But on April 26th, coming up, the mayor there approved a proclamation for the Confederate Memorial Day on that day, April 26th. And there's a lot of people that aren't happy about that. What do you think about that if you're listening right now? Because I know there's a lot of people in the South who look at the Confederate flag and they look at it different than many other people across the country. We've talked about it on the show. As we sit here in the year 2019, there are many Americans that look at that Confederate flag. They look at that as the same thing, basically, as the Nazi Germany flag.
Well, and there are, and I don't know all the ins and outs. I don't profess to be as educated about it as maybe I should do. But there are some more Civil War historians or Civil War buffs who will tell you that that means one thing, that it's, I think that's, don't they refer to that as the Confederate battle flag? And then the actual CSA flag is something else, or maybe I have that backwards. But it's that small amount of people will be quick to go to that and use that as the reason why the Southern states should be able to display that. It's one of those things where I feel like, despite the fact of being an American, I feel like I'm outside looking in because I don't walk in the shoes of people who whose heritage comes from the hate that flag represents.
Well, the mayor of Ocala, Florida, again, he's taken a lot of heat from that, Mayor Kent Ginn. The city council president of Ocala, Florida, her name is Mary Sue Rich, says, quote, I don't think you deserve to be the mayor of Ocala, unquote. I hope somebody runs against you because you're coming up with more and more negative stuff. You know, I told you about my nephew, who's a sophomore in college now. But a few years back when he was in high school.
That's Ron Osterlund, right?
No.
That's your nephew's name?
No, different one. Hmm. But he sent me a video. As a matter of fact, I sent him a video on Facebook It was a version of Leonard Skinner doing Freebird live at the Oakland Coliseum back in the mid-70s. And it was an incredible version. That's why I sent it to him. Mm-hmm. He's a rock and roll fan. Well, he got back to me. He said, yeah, great song, but why are they playing in front of the racist flag? Because back then, Leonard Skinner, their backdrop would always be the Confederate flag. So this is what kids think. So, a lot of kids, at least, not all, but a lot of kids, they look at that and they wonder why. Heck,
and
I was going to say, a few years ago, Kid Rock, who's from Detroit, he was touring America a couple of tours ago, and he had that backdrop, the Confederate flag. And people, they complained to him, and he said, why are you complaining? They said, that's the Confederate flag you got behind you. Why are you touring with that behind you? He said, I'm touring with that behind me because that's what Leonard Skinner used to have behind them when they toured, and I'm a Leonard Skinner fan.
Well, let me walk you through this, and this will go down the ladder as far as, in my opinion, talent. You have Leonard Skinner and that story, and then you have Kid Rock. Let me tell you a story about me playing on stage locally. There's a local bar, and it happens to currently be shuttered. It's not open right now. But once a month, some friends of mine and myself, it's an open mic night, first Friday of the month. And I'm not going to mention the bar, it's not open right now. But they had, as part of their signage, you could say, or part of their
backdrop,
things on the wall, a Confederate flag. And so I'm playing there, others are playing there, and people will start to take pictures and shoot video with their cell phone. And I have to be mindful of the fact that video could circulate with me, and now I have a Confederate flag behind me. Mm-hmm. And so when you see that, much like your nephew, you tell that story, he sees it and boom, means one thing. And it doesn't matter whether or not the thing that he associates that flag to be with, it's all just, it's whatever it conjures up in your mind, whether it's through your upbringing or history. It should be because of the history and not just because of something someone's heard. He's way too young to understand, obviously, the history of that. And he doesn't even understand why Kid Rock is using it.
Well,
he doesn't even go back 30 years, 35 years to why Leonard Skinner was using it.
Well, when Kid Rock was confronted with that, Brewster, when he said, look, I'm flying this because I love Leonard Skinner, and they flew it behind their stage.
Right.
He still took it down after that because people said, well, that's the pro-slavery flag.
Right.
You know, that's the racist flag. And again, I guess that's what a lot of kids and that's what a lot of people are thinking these days, that that's what that means. And I think it means other things than that, but that's what people are thinking.
And when you see it, there's no time there. I mean, there's no display with it that says, read all of this information about the history of this. It's just, you see that and boom, it's like a swastika. It's like it's like the symbols of hate throughout our time.
Well, this coming April 26th in Ocala, Florida, that day is going to be Confederate Memorial Day. The mayor said so, but the city council's not happy, and we will see what happens there on that day. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Hope you had a good weekend. You know, I'm watching the weather. It was Friday and Saturday, the local weather, and they all did the same thing. Saturday was an absolutely beautiful day, and I'm watching the weather. I think it was the 5 o'clock news on Saturday at p.m., and the weatherman said, and they said the same thing on Friday. A beautiful day on Saturday, boy, enjoy it. But watch out for Sunday night. Basically, they're telling us watch out. The first thing they said was watch out for Sunday, and I'm thinking, uh-oh. So we have such a beautiful day Saturday. Does that mean Sunday it's gonna be awful? Because many of the local weather people are saying watch out for Sunday, and then they said they changed a little bit. Watch out for Sunday night. We got a big, big storm coming Sunday night. And basically they're saying this on Friday and Saturday. I know they have to, when it's beautiful outside, and I know they have to cover their backsides. in case a big storm comes in and they didn't say anything about it, then people are going to say, hey, man, what the hell? But did much happen in the New Orleans area last night to warrant a two-day warning from Friday to Saturday by our local weather experts saying, watch out for Sunday night. Boy, we got big storms coming. You better watch out. You pretty much ruined my whole weekend, my beautiful Saturday, by saying, watch out for Sunday night. And then I know, I mean, I went to bed pretty early last night, but from what I could tell, it wasn't.
Well, you may have missed the tornado warnings that we got in Jefferson Parish, also St. Bernard, some other. I don't know if it made its way to Orleans Parish. But yeah, they had tornado warnings last night. Some people got power knocked out for a couple of hours.
Just strange.
You may have slept through it.
It was just strange on Friday and Saturday when it's a beautiful day of the weekend. You better watch out for Sunday night. It was like they were warning us for a day or two.
Well, at my palatial estate, we will actually, I'll decide whether or not I'm going to cook something outside on the grill or on the smoker based on what the weather's going to be like during the afternoon on Sunday. And so we decided, well, you know, we'll do something in the oven instead. And Sunday was, yesterday was just gorgeous.
Most of
you know,
it all,
right
all
up
day.
Until dark or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, until night, yeah. Boy, it was kind of like just knocking me off of that cloud that wasn't there because they're saying that early in the weekend, but had a good weekend. And Brewster, it looks like tonight it comes down. We got the five radio stations up here and all for the children with the NCAA basketball. Tonight's the finals. And correct me if I'm wrong, but if Virginia wins, you win the pool. And if Texas Tech wins, I win the pool.
Oh, I don't think so. Where do you have Texas Tech?
I don't have them. But as we go into tonight, I'm a little bit ahead of you with points.
No. I think here's what it boils down to. Because I have to wrap my mind around this as well. On Friday, if Michigan State,
going into this weekend, I was up by like 2 points, and each had one winner and one loser over the weekend.
But here's the thing, we both needed our teams to win on Saturday. Yours did not, mine did, but there are people who I think are going to get more points for having... There are a couple of people, there are a couple of people, I believe, here who have Texas Tech and Virginia in the finals. Now, obviously, if Virginia wins...
Oh, I can't imagine anyone having Texas. Well, I think I was the only one that had them in the Final Four.
Well, we got to go back and read the email.
Yeah, I got to go read the email.
Here's what it's going to come down to. I needed the points because it's the graduated thing. It goes up. All right, so I would have gotten more points if Michigan State had won on Saturday and met Virginia tonight. I think there are people who, I think it's gonna come down to whether or not if Virginia wins, I get enough points to cover the fact that I didn't get any Michigan State points.
But
you see what I'm saying?
I do, but going into Saturday, we were towards the top, and I was a couple points ahead of you, and we each had the same exact thing happen
on
Saturday.
Well, you were actually more. I mean, you were like fourth. I was like way down to seventh.
So I think that's what it is. I think, now we'll check this, but I think if Virginia wins, you win, and I think if Texas Tech wins, because you won't get any more points, if Virginia loses, I win because I'm ahead of you right now. But you'll jump over me.
How do you benefit from Texas Tech winning?
Because you won't get the points from Virginia.
You didn't get the points from Michigan State.
I got the points from Virginia, though. I had Virginia and Michigan State. So we're in the same exact place with points today as we were on Friday. We each had one win and one loss. Now I'm done because my team's... And you could still get more points if Virginia wins tonight. So you would win if Virginia wins. But whatever.
Yeah,
it's
really not us. It's what the other people have in the building.
I'll check it out.
I don't understand.
I thought out of the five radio stations you and I represented during this NCAA thing, I think we represented you really well.
Yeah, the guy Seth who puts it together from our sister station, WWL.
Yeah.
And again, it is all for us. Just for fun, for bragging rights. Yeah. There's no actual money involved. He said this is the first time that it has ever come down to two people having the same championship game but opposing teams.
Yeah.
He said that's never happened before.
Well, we'll see what happens. Yeah. We'll check it out.
I hope you lose.
I said, hey, I wish you good luck, but I'd rather win.
Yeah. I need the money more.
I saw this headline over the weekend, and it's not a headline you see often, but when you do see it, people rejoice. Rhino poacher killed by elephant, then eaten by lions in South Africa. That's it's a wonderful headline, because people should not be poaching rhinoceroses. A rhino poacher...
I've always said poach eggs, not rhinoceroses.
A rhino poacher was trampled to death by an elephant, and his remains were devoured by a pride of lions in South Africa's Kruger National Park. Now, this just happened recently. And the guy was there with a bunch of his friends, and his friends all watched this. So what happens when you go to South Africa to try to poach a rhinoceros? I don't know what you did this past weekend, but this is what happens. And guy was trying. He's a rhino poacher. He's an RP, a rhino poacher. And he tried to poach the rhinoceros, but an elephant was having it, and he got trampled to death by the elephant. And then the tigers came in after and ate them all up. And his friends were watching this. I wonder if there's a video going around of this.
When I saw that on Facebook, I couldn't decide whether to click love or click laugh. I wanted to click both.
Yeah,
I wanted to love it and laugh at it.
This is a story of hope. The park, the Kruger National Park officials over there in South Africa. I hear it's a nice park, too. They told the press there that the man entered the park illegally to illegally hunt rhinos, but got trampled by that elephant. The man was joined by four accomplices, and all four of those guys got arrested. How about that? A human skull and a pair of pants were recovered. Well, we know what lions don't like. They don't like skulls and they don't like pants because those are the only things left. It's kind of like when somebody spontaneously combusts and you see the couch with smoke coming out of it.
You never see that much anymore.
There's a skull there and usually a pair of pants. That's pretty much it. So I think it's the same leftovers from spontaneously combusting than there are for trying to illegally poach rhinos over in a park in South Africa.
You know, you always say that the trend of attractive female teachers having sex with underage male students is we have an ongoing thing. You say it happens more. I say it's always happened, but you're just hearing about it more because of social media. I think the instances of people spontaneously combusting are happening less than they did prior to social media. Do you concur with that?
That's interesting. Yeah, you're right.
I used to hear about that maybe once a year.
I don't read about that, people spontaneously combusting, nearly as much as I read about attractive female teachers doing sex with their underage male students.
That I agree with.
Yeah, right about that.
Excuse me while I burst into flames.
All right. Coming up on the show, another incident at another New Orleans Waffle House.
No.
It's incredible.
No.
It's incredible. I don't know what's going on over there. I love the waffles there. Stay tuned for this report coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So it looks like Joe Biden is going to run for president. He hasn't officially announced it yet, but we're expecting an announcement pretty soon. Old Joe Biden. He already has a campaign slogan. Gee, your hair smells great. Biden 2020. See if that works out. Another guy running for president just said something over the weekend that's fairly controversial. Former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke. He's running for president. He ran for senator of Texas against incumbent Ted Cruz in the last election. And he gave Ted Cruz, he gave him a run for his money, but Ted Cruz ended up beating him. But Beto O'Rourke, over the weekend, called Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu a racist. Flat out said he's a racist. Now, we all know when it comes to these Democratic politicians, the ones running for president and other Democratic politicians, when it comes to which side they're on, Israel or Palestine, we all know they're pretty much every one of them is on Palestine's side. Every one of them. And now it's gotten to the point where a big-name Democrat, Beto O'Rourke, is flat out saying what many Democrats in America feel, but they didn't say that Benjamin Netanyahu, Bibi, the leader of Israel, the prime minister of Israel, is a racist. Isn't that something, according to Beto O'Rourke? He was talking about the United States-Israel relationship at a campaign event yesterday in Iowa, and he says, quote, "The U.S.-Israel relationship is one of the most important relationships that we have on the planet, and that relationship, if it is successful, must transcend partisanship in the United States, and it must be able to transcend a prime minister who is racist," as he warns against Arabs coming to the polls. Now look, I've always been a fan of Israel. You look at that part of the world where they are, that's the most godforsaken part of the planet that we have. And Israel is the only democracy over there. So yeah, we're friends with Israel, and they're friends with us. And it's an important friendship. But I wouldn't call Benjamin Netanyahu racist. I'll tell you, I don't understand how so many American Jewish people could be Democrats, because most of them are. Because the Democrats are no friend of Israel. I'll tell you that right now. That's no secret. But I don't know if Beto O'Rourke is going to have a chance to do much on the national stage here. He's got some baggage. You know, he just called himself Beto. His name's not Beto. He just made that up.
It's catchy, though.
It is pretty catchy.
It's memorable.
He just made that up. And some people, some press erroneously reported that he's Latin. And he's not Latin. He's Irish. He's a mutt. But he's not Latin. But they're saying he's calling himself Beto to do well with the Latin voters in this country. So we'll see what happens. Stay tuned. But it's a pretty big deal when you've got a guy running for president of the United States who just called the prime minister of Israel a racist. That's a big deal. And in my opinion, Benjamin Netanyahu, old Bibi, he's no racist. I think he's a tough SOB. And I've told you this before. I'm a big Netanyahu fan. I've studied him over the years. Benjamin Netanyahu, his favorite thing to drink? Yoo-hoo. And that's a fact. Netanyahu loves Yoo-hoo. Who doesn't love that stuff? All right, coming up on the show, I got to get to this story out of another Waffle House in the New Orleans area. Another one just had a night that made headlines. Not for the right reasons. Here on Bayou 95.7.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. I made an error, and I've got it right now. as former Vice President Joe Biden, he hasn't officially announced he's going to run for president. It looks like he's going to announce this week that he's going to run for president, and he already has his campaign slogan. It's, "Gee, your hair smells terrific." That's what it is. I want to make sure we get everything right here. So, and by the way,
it's just a choice. We have choices in life. When you come to the fork in the road, Yogi Berra says, take it.
SNL roasted Joe Biden the other night. Now, I don't watch Saturday Night Live like I used to watch it. If I'm around and it's on, I'll keep an eye on it. But evidently, they brought back Jason Sudeikis to play Joe Biden last Saturday night, and he was just groping, and he was up in all the women, and it was everywhere. So they're having some fun with that. It'll be interesting to see.
Apparently, a couple of years ago, Joe Biden and Lady Gaga recorded a public service announcement to help stop sexual assault, as she is pretty loudly proclaimed that she was a victim of sexual assault in her earlier years. I'm trying to find a good quality copy of that. Maybe we'll give that a listen.
Yeah, go figure.
Yeah. It makes you wonder if Lady Gaga has done like what I've implored everyone to do, is put in Google or YouTube, creepy Joe Biden groping. I wonder if she's checked some of those videos out.
Yeah, that's gross, those videos.
He's just gross.
So, and by the way, many political experts think that Joe Biden is really, as we sit here right now, a lot of things can happen between now and November 2020, but many political experts think that Joe Biden is pretty much the only person that's in right now that could really beat Donald Trump. That's what some say. I don't know how much truth there is to that, and we'll find out. So Waffle House Restaurant is a place we've talked about on the show a few times for a couple of reasons. I'm a Waffle House fan. I like Waffle House. I like waffles, and they're good places. But here in the New Orleans area, over the last few months, at least three different Waffle Houses have had wild robbery / shootout stories. And something just happened this past weekend at the Waffle House in New Orleans East, early yesterday morning. A guy walked into Waffle House and just started shooting at the security guard in there. And then the security guard pulled out his gun and started shooting at the armed robber, who then ran out the door. This happened at the Waffle House off of Interstate 10 at Bullard Avenue. And it happened right around 3:15 in the morning yesterday. The guy just walked into Waffle House, and I don't even think he tried robbing it first. He just walked in, pulled out his gun, and started shooting at a 51-year-old security guard who returned fire. The security guard's going to be okay. He was shot in the lower right arm. And police still don't know who the shooter was, but he took off. And I don't know if he even got a nickel. What a stupid robber. Maybe he was surprised to see an armed security guard when he walked in to rob the place. That's why he didn't have time to go right for the cash register, because the security guard would have probably gotten in the way. So he walked in and he just opened fire on the security guard. But this is at least the third or fourth incident at three or four different New Orleans area Waffle Houses in the last few months, with, of course, the one incident that we've talked about a couple of times on the show, where I said they should maybe think twice before throwing the book at the one guy. Remember the incident we talked about a few weeks ago? A guy walked into the Waffle House, and he put on a Waffle House uniform, and then he started cooking food, and he started serving people. And then after a little bit of work, he opened the register, took $300, and left. Yeah, I know technically the guy's a robber, but boy, he actually used his mind. He actually did some work for the money that was in the cash register. Now, he didn't earn all of that money in the cash register, obviously. But he at least did some work, and I thought that robbery of a Waffle House was one of the most creative I've ever seen. I don't think the guy had a gun. All he had was a Waffle House uniform, and I don't know where he got it from, but he walked in, he put it on, and started working.
And a spatula.
Yes!
He traded his gun for a spatula.
And from what people said, they said he cooked a damn good breakfast, and he was a really good server, too. That tipped pretty well. So out of all of the area Waffle House robberies and crazy stuff that has happened at the area Waffle Houses in the last few months here in New Orleans, that one will always stand out. And I don't know if they caught that guy yet, because I read the newspapers every day, and I'm still waiting to see a mugshot with the headline saying, here's the guy that robbed Waffle House. Well, he put on a uniform and then started cooking and then started serving people, and then he robbed Waffle House and left.
Where do you find a newspaper these days?
Or the newspaper online.
No.
You know, it's interesting you said that, Brewster. The other day, I think it was Friday, I was walking down Poydras Street here in New Orleans.
Sleepwalking or just walking?
No, no, no. That's over with. I got that all taken care of.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm not walking up. I'm not waking up on the other side of town anymore. But I'm walking down Poydras Street.
Not accidentally.
I'm walking down Poydras Street this past Friday, and I see a guy buying a newspaper from a newspaper machine. And I think it was on the corner of Poydras and St. Charles, if I'm not mistaken. But there's a newspaper machine there. I think it's either the Advocate or the Times-Tribune. I'm not sure because I just walk by it all the time. Who buys newspapers anymore?
I thought it was freeapartments.com. It's not.
No, but a guy.
Don't have that one there.
A guy was, and I almost stopped myself saying, "Before you put another quarter in there, here's my cell phone. What do you want to know that's in that newspaper? Because whatever's in that newspaper, I had on this cell phone yesterday, and that's why no one is buying those newspapers anymore. Nobody buys them anymore. So I saw someone, but he didn't want to. That was that.
You're fearless when it comes to talking to strangers, aren't you?
Hey, you only live once, Brewster. So I'm glad this security guard here at this Walmart over in
Waffle House.
Over at this Waffle House in New Orleans East. I'm glad he's going to be okay. And now they're looking for this lunatic who just walked in and started shooting. But don't you see the difference between that armed robber and the guy who the police are looking for? The other armed robber that I explained, who came in and put on a Waffle House uniform, started cooking, started serving, and then he stole the money. Don't you have a little more respect for that guy?
No.
That guy wasn't an animal like this guy. Just opened the door and started shooting. At least he did a few minutes of work for his money. All right, coming up on the show, I think R. Kelly has hit an all-time low, an official all-time low. The guy, he better be enjoying these days of freedom because these are his last. Because when he goes to trial again for doing sex with underage girls, he's not going to get out for a long, long time. He tried to do a special show this past weekend for his fans, and it could not get any lower. He could not hit rock bottom any more than what happened this past weekend with the show that the intimate show that he tried to put on for his fans. And we're going to explain what happened coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So the days of singer R. Kelly being a free man, they are counting down. Because he's got a trial coming up. And unlike the trial that he had years ago, he's not going to beat this one. And R. Kelly's probably going to go spend the majority or the rest of his life in prison. And that's why he was freaking out during that interview that he did a couple of weeks ago with CBS News' Gayle King. So it's pretty low, and now he's got all kinds of kids with all kinds of different women, all kinds of different ages, and he doesn't have any money anymore, and I think all of his people are leaving him. He lost his record contract. I mean, the guy's, he's lost everything. So over the weekend, he charged his fans. He did a couple of things. The second thing he did was he had a performance at a club, a small club in Chicago, where he charged his fans $100 to show up. Problem is, he only played for 28 seconds. 28 seconds.
Who's this guy think he is, Mike Tyson?
And he still charged people $100. The club held 450 people, and 100 people showed up. I mean, this is how sad, this is how pathetic it is.
Half of them were lost, looking for someone else.
And they each doled out $100 to help R. Kelly, I guess, get through the next couple of days. And he only performed for 28 seconds. They said he smoked cigars and he joked around with the people, but he didn't perform. But before that, he made a video on his Instagram page, where he pretty much begged the media to go easy on him, to leave him alone.
Yo, this your boy Kels, and I got an event to do tonight in Springfield, Illinois. So I want the media to take it easy on me, man. This is how I got to get paid now for right now. So I got to go do this event, and it's a party. So when you see me in the club with a couple of drinks in my hand and chilling, please, take it easy. Appreciate it, y'all. Thanks.
You know, Mrs. Brewster and I were just in Springfield, Illinois, over at the land of Lincoln, the Lincoln Museum, the library. Oh, it's wonderful. Springfield's is wonderful if you've never been there.
And he didn't have to worry about the media showing up to cover it because they didn't show up like most people didn't show up. Like I said, only about 100 people showed up. He walked into the Dirty South Lounge in Springfield, Illinois, at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, we didn't have a chance to make that, sadly.
At 1:30 in the morning. Again, and then at that point, when he realized there was nobody in the club and there were some people in the parking lot, he cut the price in half to get in. He goes, okay, you can now get in for $50.
It was like 75 degrees. He's wearing a full-length a fur coat. So he's still styling.
So for either $100 or $50, what the 100 fans got in the 450-seat club, what they got was R. Kelly for 35 minutes, thanking them for their support, taking selfies, dancing, and smoking cigars. Is that worth 50?
Like a party at your house.
50 or 100 bucks, is that worth that much? So, yeah.
Springfield's.
Yeah, and boy, here's a guy that was a multimillionaire. Now look at him. Coming up next, we look at today in history. On this show, we call the segment, Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. It's time for us to look at today in history. And on this radio show, we call the segment,
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
April 8th. It's so funny.
You've got, well, it's not much of a computer, but you've got a computer in front of you. But I always find it amazing that just before we get into the meat of Why Today Doesn't Suck, you turn around to check the calendar. And didn't you see that meme that went around a couple of weeks ago? It's like things that no one has at their disposal or in their homes anymore. Calendars. What else was on there?
Yeah, we still have paper stamps. Calendars in here. Right. Laying around. I just want to make sure because sometimes, you know.
You don't you trust the thing hanging on the wall more than you do just clicking down in the corner of your, never mind. April 8th.
Yes, it was today in 1974.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Hank Aaron breaks Babe Ruth's all-time home run record. It was a game in Atlanta, and to this day, I know that he's been passed, but he hasn't been passed by anyone who didn't take steroids.
Right.
So, technically, in my opinion, if you're a baseball purist, he still has the most home runs, 700 whatever he finished with at all time. Barry Bonds passed him.
But see, if you go down that road, here's the road that you inescapably can't avoid. Do you want to shave off? How many of Pete Rose's hits do you want to shave off because he was taking the little green pills, as many of them were back in his day? You know, do you do that? Do you take off hits from Pete Rose because on a day game after a night game where they've had very little sleep? I mean, he's basically working on greenies and coffee. So do you take those four hits away?
I wouldn't.
Well, it's a performance. Is it not a performance-enhancing drug? That's the question.
Well, you said it when you started talking about it. Back then, a lot of the guys were just popping those. They were popping those things like Juju Bees.
Sure.
And it was a different time and a different place in baseball. But,
I asked the question, that's all.
But, yeah. April 8th. It was today in... Let me see here.
Check the calendar. There's a calendar behind you.
It was today in 2005.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Olympic Park bomber Eric Rudolph agrees to plead guilty. And this was 9 years after the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta, Georgia. And the bomb went off. And everybody thought it was that security guard that was working there. But it wasn't. And it kind of ruined his life. And it ended up being this guy, Eric Rudolph, who they found, he was a survivalist living up in the woods for years, but it took him 9 years, but they got the guy. And I believe he's still hanging out in prison. That's where he is. April 8th. It was today in 1998.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Rolling Stones guitarist Ronnie Wood was rescued along with 11 other passengers from a boat off the coast of Brazil after the engine exploded. The boat was exploring the area, and then all of a sudden, the engine exploded. And I don't know if Ronnie Wood was seen around the engine room with a cigarette or not, but the good thing that he and everybody else on that boat was okay.
Well, you would think Ronnie Wood might be the one that would be flammable and be subject to exploding, not the boat.
Yeah, right.
It was on this date, April 8th, in 2010.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
You're a big fan of the New York Dolls. That's just, I don't know anything about them other than New York Dolls, Buster Poindexter. Is that right?
Yeah, the singer, David Johansen, later on in life became Buster Poindexter.
And did the song Hot, Hot, Hot.
Yes.
Well, sad news on this date in that year, former New York Dolls and Sex Pistols manager Malcolm McLaren died of mesothelioma in Switzerland. He was 64 years old.
Too
apparently,
bad
he didn't watch those commercials every morning at 9:30 after Judge Joe.
If he was around today, you could call a lawyer.
That's right.
You could cash in on that.
It was on this date, April 8th, 1998.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Motley Crue drummer. This could be any year. This could be any month of any year. Motley Crue drummer Tommy Lee sentenced to 6 months in jail for breaking a probation order incurred on him for an assault on a photographer in 1996. That's the part that could happen any day, any year.
Boy, that movie, The Dirt, that's out on Netflix, it's really helping them. Their book has now reappeared on the New York Times bestseller list,
right.
The Dirt, and their albums are and their music, their songs are selling on iTunes and all over the place, all
right.
Because of that movie. Isn't it something with something like that? It can bring a band back from the dead.
Sure. On this date, speaking of back from the dead, April 8th, 1980.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
6 weeks after the death of singer Bon Scott, Brian Johnson was introduced as the new singer for AC/DC. And let's see, the album Back in Black would come out I don't know. Not long after that. It was on this date, April 8th, 1963.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
John Lennon's first son, his only child with first wife Julian, was born in Liverpool. He would later achieve modest, I put that in there, it says later achieve success. I put modest success in the mid-80s with hits such as Balat and Too Late for Goodbyes, kind of 80s pop, poppy tunes. He's doing something with... who is Julian Lennon doing something with right now?
I'm not sure.
We'll look it up in a bit.
Although when it comes to Julian Lennon, I always wondered, he hasn't spoken much about it, but his father was not around for him as a child. He was nowhere around.
I mean, I think he's made peace with it now.
And then you saw the way that John and Yoko were always around Sean, his younger half brother. John Lennon spent all the time putting them in pictures and everything, but Julian never got any of that, and I wonder if that probably bothered him a little bit. But hey, John Lennon back then, you know, young fathers, he was out there making a buck, many of them.
I'm doing a search here. I don't see what the project that I'm thinking about, but he's paired with. We'll effort that sometime between now and the end of the year. Birthdays today, two guitarists. We say happy birthday to Steve Howe, guitarist of Yes. He turns 72 today. Izzy Stradlin of Guns N' Roses turns 57.
Jeff Isabel.
Two actresses on today's birthdays. Robin Wright from House of Cards turns 53. And an actress who is very peculiar, but she's one of those actresses that I find just commands the screen. When she's on camera, you can't take your eyes off of her. Turning 51 today, that is Patricia Arquette.
Huh.
Always thought she was rather fetching.
From that famous Arquette family out there in Los Angeles. They had
yes.
a few of them. April 8th. It was today. Happy birthday to, well, she's gone now, but former First Lady Betty Ford.
Happy heavenly birthday, we would assume.
Betty Ford was born today in 1918.
Why today doesn't suck.
Celebrities who have been treated at the Betty Ford Center swear by it. In fact, they return again and again.
Many do, yes.
And also April 8th. See here. I remember a little. Here it is. April 8th. It was today in 1988.
Why today doesn't suck.
The band REM left their small record label IRS to sign a massive deal with Warner Brothers, a multi-million dollar deal. And a lot of the fans of that band kind of gave them some crap because they were always like the indie band and, you know, they didn't need all of the. But boom, when they were started selling some records, Warner Brothers took them off their little IRS record label.
Right. Here's your April 8th quiz. You mentioned before that on this date in 1974...
Why today doesn't suck.
...that Hank Aaron broke Babe Ruth's single-season home run record with home run number 715.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall the pitcher who served up that long ball?
I do. It's a great trivia question.
From the Los Angeles Dodgers...
Al Downing,
that's right. He becomes the Vic Wertz of his time. He becomes the... That's all I can think of is Vic Wertz. And that is a segment that we call...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
All right. Coming up on the show, marijuana is legal in Massachusetts. It is not yet in New York. And they have just broken down some numbers about how many New Yorkers are flocking, just taking a drive to Massachusetts to buy weed and then turn right around and drive back to New York. Wait till you hear some of these numbers. Something that's coming up. I'm Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So marijuana is legal in Massachusetts, and not just for medicinal. It's one of the several states now where it's legal for recreational use. And it's not legal yet in New York. What they have found is that an alarming number of New Yorkers are driving up to Massachusetts. Whether they're driving up from New York City or driving up and over from New York State, they're getting into Massachusetts and they're buying weed in Massachusetts. And then they're just turning around and driving back to New York. And the numbers, they said, are pretty staggering. Now, the state of New York and the city of New York, this year they hope to make marijuana legal if they can figure it out and get it all right. But I was just reading this story over the weekend about how this one guy named Brandon Pollock, he's the CEO of the Theory Wellness Store in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. He says he sees New Yorkers in New York license plates pulling in his parking lot all the time. Quote, I'd say we get dozens, if not hundreds, a day from the greater New York City area, he said. We get people coming up in zip cars, people carpooling, people who say they hardly ever drive at all, but will drive to purchase cannabis. And he showed some sales records to the reporter who was doing the story from his store. And it shows about 15,000 New Yorkers have made purchases of marijuana at that one store in Massachusetts since January 11th. So it's only been a few months. And he's got more than 15,000 people who have made purchases. And just the tax revenue is incredible. And it's like that for all of the states who have legalized marijuana. You know what this reminds me of? Because for years I lived in Massachusetts before weed was legal. And they always used to call it Taxachusetts because they had the highest taxes around the states up there. And when anyone had a big purchase to buy, like a major kitchen appliance or a washing machine or a dryer, if you lived in Massachusetts, what we did was we would drive to New Hampshire. Because they weren't taxed as high. So if you had big purchases, it was worth it to take the drive, go over the state line to New Hampshire, and then buy the major appliance, and then bring it back to your home in Massachusetts, and that's just because New Hampshire, well, their state motto is live free or die, and their taxes weren't as high as Massachusetts. It was much like that with the fireworks, because fireworks were illegal in Massachusetts, but you could buy them in New Hampshire. So right before the 4th of July, so many people would drive just from Massachusetts to go across the border into New Hampshire to buy their fireworks, throw them in their car, and then turn around and bring them back to Massachusetts. The cops started getting hip to that, though. The Massachusetts cops, the state troopers, and they would park their cars right on the border, and they would see the Massachusetts cars right before the 4th of July coming back with the Massachusetts plates from New Hampshire, exiting New Hampshire and driving into Massachusetts, and they would just pull those over with probable cause. And there was a lot of people. I had some friends that got pinched for buying fireworks illegally, but they couldn't do anything. They couldn't bust you for buying the appliances. If you were saving some money, they couldn't do anything there. But this weed situation is something else. And I just thought it was interesting how this one guy who's got a store selling weed in Massachusetts in the last few months, over 15,000 people from New York have come up making the trip just to go get their herbs. Coming up on the show, did you hear what these two college students did to scam Apple out of about $1 million, and they got caught? Wait till you hear how they did this. It's coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Did you hear how these college students, these two guys, got in trouble for ripping off the company Apple? Did you hear what they did? They got almost $1 million, too, before they got caught. But this was a wild iPhone scheme. Here's what they did. These two guys, Oregon State University, they tricked Apple out of about $900,000. And what they did was they got a bunch of counterfeit iPhones from China, and they got them real cheap. They got a bunch of them. They got 1,000 of them. They got them real cheap. And when they got the counterfeit iPhones from China, they just did something because they knew what they were doing. They made them so they wouldn't turn on. And so they sent the knockoff iPhones to Apple saying, hey, these phones won't turn on. They don't work. And Apple had no idea. And what Apple would do is they would just, they would either send them a new iPhone, a brand new iPhone, a real iPhone, or they would send them cash.
I have all kinds of problems with this.
They did this over 1,500 times with over 1,500 fake iPhones that cost Apple $895,000 before they figured out what was going on. And here's what it says exactly in the police report. Quote, The scheme is perpetrated by an individual who submits a counterfeit iPhone that will not power on and receives a new and or factory refurbished officially licensed iPhone and exchanged for the non-working knockoff through Apple's warranty and repair process. So they figured out that this is how Apple does things, and they figured out how to go take advantage of that.
But if you buy a product, and it doesn't have to be an iPhone, let's just say it's a phone, if I go to store XYZ and buy XYZ brand phone, and I have a Chinese knockoff, you can't even take it back to the store level because they're going to scan it or they're going to check serial numbers and they're not going to match up and they're going to say, sorry, Tari, you're not getting your money back on this fake Chinese knockoff. So I got a lot of problems with this. So even at the even at the corporate level, there's no checking of the serial number on the product with the serial number on the box or anything. Or I find this troubling.
Well,
at the very least,
they got away with it, Brewster, around 1,500 times before they got caught. And again, they bought a bunch of cheap Chinese iPhone knockoffs. They then did something to them, and then they called iPhone and they sent them back and they said, "Look, these things, they're not powering on. They don't turn on." And then iPhone threw their,
you mean Apple
or Apple through the way they do things. It's because of their warranty and repair process. They just kept sending them brand new, real iPhones. And like I said, $895,000 later, about 1,500 claims later, iPhone finally figured out what was going on. And
I even find it unlikely that they're going to send them new iPhones, because in the past I have had trouble, every phone that I've had trouble with, I think I did drop one and crack the screen, but every other phone other than that I've had trouble with, and I'm an Android person, not an iPhone person, and I think the problem that I have is with the plug-in. The USB micro jack always becomes too loose from the constant plugging in and unplugging from charging. Now, I think with iPhones and the, what is that called? The lightning cable, I think it's more stable. I have moved to a particular brand of phone. It doesn't even matter which it is, but it is an Android that uses USB-C, which is an interchangeable. It goes in either, bi-directional, and it is thicker and more stable, and so I don't have that problem. So my point in all of that is every phone that I have ever returned, they don't give you a brand new phone. They give you a refurbished phone.
Well, these guys,
it could be a phone that has the same problem that you're returning your phone with.
These two guys figured it out at Oregon State University, Yang Zhao and Quan Jiang. Again, they send fake iPhones to Apple, saying they did not work, did not properly turn on, and then they received replacement phones from Apple. And then they would take those replacement phones and then sell them to a broker. And it took them a little while to get caught, like right. I said.
And when they did, it turns out that the shipping methods and packaging raised suspicion from officials handling these returns. That's just amazing, though, that they were
able... How they were able to get away with it.
To get away with one.
Yeah, I mean, if how wouldn't they know if they just say, look, we bought an iPhone, it's not working, it doesn't power on right, and they say, well, you send it to us, and our policy is to send you a brand new Apple.
It's not going to be brand new. It can't be brand new. I can't believe that they're going to be sent a brand new phone. They might be sent a refurbished phone.
All right.
But still, a refurbished, genuine Apple iPhone, you would think, is better than a Chinese knockoff.
Absolutely, and you're wondering who at the place at Apple was getting these phones and didn't notice,
right,
that these aren't real iPhones. I mean, they're knockoff iPhones.
Shipping and receiving should have found this like immediately. You would think when it comes to the bench level of the phone being cracked open and inspected, you would think that the technicians would be savvy enough to be like, oh, no, not real.
Yeah, and I wonder how long these guys were going to try to get away with it, because they got to about $900,000. Maybe they looked at each other and said, we'll get to $1 million and we'll stop then. But if they stopped at a few phones earlier, we probably would have never been known about this and being able to tell you about this story. And so these guys are probably going to get some jail time, but they seem like they're pretty smart and pretty sharp. If they put their brains and their minds to something legitimate,
yes,
they should probably.
Why can't they use their powers for good?
Do well from themselves. Yeah, but you asked the best question, Brewster. How possibly could they have gotten away with this for so long? But they did. Coming up on the show, what is the worst thing you could tell an elderly Jewish man? What's the worst name that you could call an elderly Jewish man? Did you see this story in the news over the weekend? We're going to tell you what someone called this elderly Jewish man, and we'll tell you why she called him that and what happened to her. That's coming up next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. I just realized, and I brought this up on the show recently, that song right there, The Boys of Summer by Don Henley, co-wrote that with Mike Campbell, who was the longtime guitarist for Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. He was even Tom Petty's guitarist when he split from the Heartbreakers and did solo records, and he's currently on tour now with Fleetwood Mac. I had no idea that Mike Campbell co-wrote that song. Great song with Don Henley. How about this headline? And I got this story on our Facebook page, the Bayou Facebook page, with the accompanying mugshot. Florida woman drunkenly bites man's fishing line, swims away with lure. A Florida woman... And this isn't a Florida man, this is a Florida woman. Well, she got in trouble because a Florida fisherman got quite the catch the other day, but it happened to be a drunk 22-year-old woman instead of a prized fish. Authorities said that the fisherman said a woman bit his fishing line and swam off with his lure. The fisherman told deputies that 22-year-old Alexandria Turner appeared to be drunk when she swam up to his fishing line and cursed at him. The 22-year-old woman then bit the fishing line and swam away with the rigging. When the woman was asked to come to the pier office, she reportedly became belligerent and refused to walk inside. She then started upsetting the sense of public norm at the pier when police tried to take her into protective custody. She refused that, and she kept screaming, "I'm bleeping naked," several times. She was later arrested and charged with disorderly intoxication and resisting arrest without violence. But look at her mugshot right here. That's a drunk, naked woman was swimming, and she came upon a fisherman, and she took the bait. And she literally took the bait and took off with it. And I'm looking at her mugshot right here. I don't see any... You would think maybe her lip might have got cut by the line, but no, she looks like she got away with that one clean. She got off clean, but you don't see that every day. So if you want to see her mugshot and you want to see that story, go check it out on our Bayou Facebook page. All right, coming up next, the worst possible thing that you could ever call an elderly Jewish man. Some woman just called him that, and we're going to tell you why. And we're going to tell you what happened to her at her job after this story went viral. That's coming up next here on Bayou 95.7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Do you think the worst name you can call an old Jewish guy, an elderly Jewish man? What do you think? What do you think the worst name you could possibly call him is?
Uncle Leo.
That's up there. I don't know if it's the worst one, though. How about a Nazi? How about you see a young woman sees an old man walking down the street wearing a Make America Great Again hat. Guy's 74 years old and he's Jewish. And he's wearing a pro Donald Trump red MAGA hat. And he's walking around the streets of Palo Alto, California. He was approached by a young woman who worked at Starbucks. She obviously does not like Donald Trump. She saw the old man. Now, she didn't know he was Jewish. He's a 74-year-old man wearing the red MAGA hat. And she called him a Nazi. That has to be the worst thing an elderly Jewish man or woman could be called. You're calling this guy a Nazi. Now, again, she didn't know at the time that he's old and Jewish, and he probably many millions of his people were murdered by Nazis. So it's probably the last thing you would ever think to call an old Jewish man. Again, she probably didn't know he was Jewish. She saw an old man wearing this Donald Trump hat, and she wasn't having it. And so she walked up to him and called him a Nazi. Well, this encounter went viral. As a matter of fact, she was at a Starbucks. She worked at the music store next door, and she was taking a break at the Starbucks. That's where she saw the guy. Calls him a Nazi. Their encounter goes viral. And guess what happened to her? She got fired from her job at the music store. Her name's Rebecca Mankey, and she shamed the 74-year-old man. And she did it not only during their encounter, she then went online, and she shamed him online. She called him a freak. And then when her bosses at the music store saw all of this, found out that the guy happens to be Jewish, and their employee called this guy a Nazi. They called her in and they said, you don't have a job here anymore. And they fired her. How about that? I guess that is Trump derangement syndrome. The elderly Jewish man, he only gave his name, his first name, as Victor. When he was approached and then berated for wearing that Make America Great Again hat by this young female, who, by the way, has a mohawk. And she lost her job for doing it. Now, we've talked about this before on the show, how, you know, when people in this country, in America, when they disagree politically with someone on the other side of the political aisle, they will use that word. They will say, "Oh, that guy must be a Nazi." What? And there are still people in this country, especially older Jewish people. You can't be calling them Nazis when millions and millions and millions of Jewish people were killed by Nazis. You can't be doing that. And I always wondered why that's one of the first words that people call people in this country who they disagree with politically. Like, you could call Donald Trump a lot of things. You know, you not like his personality, not like some of the things he says. You know, you can call him an ass. You can call him whatever. But to call him and his supporters Nazis? Really?
Aside from the fact that it's a reprehensible name to call someone who's Jewish, now we have to set that aside because she didn't know. So first and foremost, is anyone going to shame her for her lack of knowledge as far as social studies goes and political science? We've talked about it many times, but I'm just amazed that people call Republicans, people who disagree with Republicans, call them Nazis.
I don't get that. We
like
have talked about
like
this.
There's some sort of marching in lockstep, some sort of a zombie mentality that they prescribe or they use to describe the far right. When, you know what I'm about to say here, Nazism or National Socialism, that kind of swings to the left side of the aisle.
That's more left-wing than right-wing. There's no doubt about that. And you're right. She didn't know that the guy happened to be Jewish. She just saw an old man with a white beard walking down the street, 74-year-old guy wearing a red Make America Great Again hat, and she wasn't having it. And she called him a Nazi, and pictures were taken, whatever the case may be. Then she goes on to her own personal social media accounts and then continues to rip the guy. And that's what did her in with her job. But if you look at the two political parties in our country, the two main parties, like Brewster just said, which one is closer to what the Germans did? The Germans believed in the government. The government had all the answers.
Well, I would back up from saying what the Germans did. I'm just talking about purely the political spectrum. Like, you couldn't describe Nazism as being closer to the right. I'm not going to say that Democrats are closer to what the Germans did. I'm not going to say that.
But people that call Donald Trump a fascist, or people that call Donald Trump, you know, a Nazi, or things like that, really? Again, there are names you can call the guy. There's plenty of names you can call the guy. But that? Nah, I think you got, I think people that use that term, I think they're calling the wrong category of people that term. And this is just...
But if she were sitting here and you told her that, you would look at you like you had seven heads. Because of her ignorance, I'm sure she was never taught even that simple cursory level of political science. I'm sure she doesn't even know that Nazi stands for National Socialist Party.
Hmm.
And anything that socialism means. It's much like when you try to make the point to some people that Martin Luther King, his values are more in line with Republican.
Oh, that bothers a lot of people.
People go nuts
when you say Martin Luther King was a Republican. That bothers people. What they'll say is, some people that don't like that, well, there was a different Republican Party when he was younger, or whatever the case may be, but whatever. But this whole Nazi fascist thing, again, and she probably wasn't taught this stuff, Brewster, because if you wonder why about half, when you look at polling and you look at college students, more than half of them believe that socialism is a good idea. They have no idea, and it's because their teachers on most of these college campuses, many of them are far left-wing politicos, and this is what they're teaching their kids, and that's why Bernie Sanders, the socialist presidential candidate from Vermont, this is why he had so much success a couple of years ago, and why he's trying again to run for president, because a lot of the younger people who haven't experienced very much in life, I mean, going to college, and that doesn't make you an expert on capitalism or socialism. Yet, if this is what's being instilled in these students' minds by these teachers, that's why about half the college kids in our country, they believe socialism is a good idea. And they always think, well, the next time somebody tries socialism, it's going to finally work. You know, the next time, you know, talk to people in Venezuela right now. I think about 3 million Venezuelans have left that country. And their people are hungry. There's not much to eat. They don't have much down there. They've gone full socialist, and it's just not working. But this story did have, I think, an appropriate ending when a young woman calls a 74-year-old man a Nazi just because he's wearing a Make America Great Again hat and the man happens to be Jewish. Boy, there aren't too many worse things you can call that man. And then she had the audacity to go and talk about it online and on her social media, and that's what got her fired from her job. So she should learn. She should learn. You better think twice or three times before you start calling people those rotten names. Coming up on the show, there's a guy who just got arrested in Metairie, and he was selling brake tags. I guess he got his hands on a bunch of brake tags, and he was giving people a good deal on temporary brake tags for their car. We'll tell you about it. And if you got one of these, you better watch out. That's coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So this guy just got himself arrested for selling fake temporary tags for cars. There was an undercover investigation, and they ended up catching this guy. A man was arrested. Authorities say he sold fraudulent vehicle temporary tags to an undercover state trooper in Metairie. 34-year-old Craig Kennedy of New Orleans is accused of 8 counts of forgery, 5 counts of forgery of a motor vehicle inspection certificate, according to the Louisiana State Police. What happened was an undercover cop said, hey, man, I want to buy some of these temporary tags. And he found this guy, Craig, working at an auto body repair shop on Veterans Boulevard in Metairie. And so the undercover cop went over there, and he made the purchase. And then they arrested him. And they said he was Craig Kennedy of New Orleans. Investigators found that Kennedy, he was in a vehicle containing 3 more fraudulent temporary tags and 5 phony motor vehicle inspection stickers. Officers also found a sticker-making machine for manufacturing the fraudulent inspection stickers. We had a label maker and everything. So this guy had a good scam going for a little while. He was making his own temporary tags that you use, whether it's for brake tags or whatever the case may be, temporary stickers for your car, and he was evidently selling them for a little bit cheaper than when you get them legitimately, and it all went fooey on him. You know, this reminds me of the story we talked about earlier on the show about the 2 college students in Oregon that got caught for scamming Apple. And they would buy the cheap Chinese iPhones and do something to them and then send them to Apple saying that they're not turning on. And then it got by the Apple people. We don't know how, but it got by the Apple people till it got to around $900,000. And then they finally got caught.
But if you're trying, okay, a break. Let's. I don't know about the temporary tags. That's a different deal. That would be. I take that to mean like if you when you go purchase a vehicle and you'll get the temporary tag that they make, the dealer makes out for you.
And that's like the license plate, right?
That's like the replacement license plate.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. But the more elaborate thing based on the story. If there's a brake tag making machine, I'm going to put this on the side of the people who got, shall we say, duped. Brake tags are $10. And was the guy selling them for what? $7.50?
$7 or $8, yeah.
So you're going to buy one from quote unquote, Craig to save a couple of bucks? Really? Really?
Well, I don't know if those people should be looking over their shoulders if you're one of these people that bought a temporary tag from a guy named Craig on Veterans in Metairie, but the cops went and they made the undercover bust. And they, hey, Brewster, people are always looking to save a buck or two, literally, in this particular case.
I'm not.
Coming up next, boy, a mother in Texas just did the unthinkable, but it might turn out to be the best thing that could have ever happened to her children. We'll explain coming up on Bayou 95.7.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. you've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Import, Chicago, Illinois.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. One of my Facebook friends, Pauline, just Facebooked me in regards to that last story we were talking about. The guy got busted out in Metairie on Veterans for selling fake tags for your car. And I don't know if they were the brake tags, or I don't know if they were the license plates, or I don't know what they
According
were.
According to the story, it said temporary tags and inspection.
Yeah, and she said
that. So that would be temporary tags and brake tags.
Yeah, and she said the people that would go to him, probably the people that don't have an auto insurance on their car, because they check for that. Probably the people, you know, that not everything's working on your car. So you give this guy a few bucks, he'll take care of all of that problem for you. And he had it going on for a little while, but then the authorities found out about it, went undercover, and they busted him.
Wait a minute. You give him a few bucks, and he's going to do what?
Well, let's say...
He's going to give you a phony sticker that says you pass inspection. He's not going to fix all the problems on your vehicle.
No, but if you don't have auto insurance, if you don't have certain things, you can go to a guy like this, get a tag. Because if you go to a legitimate, they want to check that stuff.
To hell with that. Well, going through all those ridiculous formalities.
But that was the whole point. Mm-hmm. So like I got busted.
Yeah, I just hope I don't encounter too many of those people on the roads.
And you and I, we were just telling stories. You knew a guy who, when it
well,
came
somebody to, called and
yeah, someone called up, and you knew a guy who years ago, all you had to do, he was doing brake tags. All you had to do basically is drive by, and he just didn't check anything on your car. You threw him a few bucks, he took care of your brake tag. I knew a guy who did brake tags. That was the exact opposite. He had the toughest reputation on the West Bank. I remember one time he called the radio show, and then someone called up after him calling him a snake that he failed him. And, how dare you fail me? Now I got to go through all of this.
Why are you telling your stories and my stories? I like when I tell my stories.
Yeah, well, your guy was easy. The guy I knew
well, it
was
wasn't throwing him a few bucks. It was going through the actual process, paying the $10. You go in, you show your proof of insurance, you show your driver's license, you pay the $10, and the procedure was, I'm not going to say where this was a long time ago, but I'm sure it still happens, where he walks out with the scraper, scrapes off the old sticker, puts on the new one, and it's like, happy motoring, see ya.
See, the guy I knew...
My story, let me tell my own stories.
The guy I knew was the exact opposite. He was a stickler. He might have been called a Nazi when it came to giving out brake tags. The University of Kansas in Lawrence, Kansas is now offering a course, Angry White Males. That's the course. And it's going to debut in the fall of the 2019 semester. You know, you wonder why half the college kids out there think socialism's a good idea. Here's a perfect example. According to the course description, the class offered at the University of Kansas and their colleges of liberal arts and sciences will chart the rise of the angry white male in America and Britain since the 1950s. It's a 3-credit course. What exactly will you learn? Quote, employing interdisciplinary perspectives, this course examines how both dominant and subordinate masculinities are represented and experienced in cultures undergoing periods of rapid change connected to modernity, as well as to rights-based movements of women, people of color, homosexuals, and trans individuals. That's the course description for the new course that's debuting at the University of Kansas in the fall 2019 semester, Angry White Male Studies, or AWMS. You get 3 credits for that. The course is listed under both the humanities and the women's gender and sexuality departments at the university. Let me ask you something. If you're studying women's gender and sexuality, what kind of a job are you going to get after getting a four-year degree, a bachelor's degree in women's gender and sexuality? And okay, I've got this degree now, and I'm you know, I've paid what $180,000-$200,000 for this degree. How many jobs out there are available for people walking around with degrees in women's gender and sexuality? But anyways. That's the department where you could take the new course at the University of Kansas in Lawrence, Angry White Male Studies. That's something. How this is where we are now. And you know, you look at a couple of the Democratic guys that are running for president, like Beto O'Rourke. They've apologized for being white males. They're apologizing. You say, look, I'm running for president. I want to be your president, and I'm sorry that I'm a white man. What is that? Look, I know our country's not perfect. We're the greatest country in the world. I know we're not perfect, and some mistakes have been made. But, man, going after white guys in America now in the year 2019, that's the thing to do. I guess that's the cool thing to do. That's what some of the bunch of the younger people and the cliques are getting together to do that. And now you can actually get college credit for taking a course called Angry White Male Studies. Boy, just when you thought you saw it all. All right, coming up on the show, I got a couple of these stories we got to get to. We got to tell you about this woman in Texas, this mother who did the unspeakable. But I think now that she did this, I think it's going to be a good thing for her kids. Stay tuned for that. And did you see the picture of the massive python that was captured, all 17 feet of it, in the Everglades in Florida? We're going to tell you, and it's still alive, we're going to tell you why they captured that and how they did it. It's pretty fascinating. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Could you imagine a woman selling her children to settle a drug debt? That just happened in the state of Texas. And this could be the best thing that ever happened to these kids if this woman is their mother. Texas woman admits to selling children to settle drug debt. You sell a child, how much time in prison you think that's going to get you? And she's in Texas, too. They're pretty tough on crime in Texas. She got 6 years. A Texas mother will spend 6 years behind bars after she sold her son for $2,500. 29-year-old Esmeralda Garza was convicted of 3 counts of selling or purchasing a child after she sold her 7-year-old son in order to pay off what she owed for drugs. She also has a 2-year-old daughter and a 3-year-old daughter. They were about to be sold, and then the cops got wind of this, and they stepped in. And I think they're saving all of these kids from their horrible mother. And now her lawyers were saying, look, you know, she's an addict. She's a drug addict, so, you know, this is a medical disease. You shouldn't hold it against her, much like, you know, when people have cancer and people have, you know, this woman had a medical disease, and her way to handle that was to sell her kids, and I think that's a bunch of crap. Never sell your kids. It's incredible, and I mean, how do they come up with a price, $2,500 for the 7-year-old? And I don't have a price here on the 2 or 3-year-old daughter. But she's blaming, and her lawyers are blaming, her drug addiction. You know, it's interesting. There's a guy who works for the same, well, used to work for the same company I work for now, the same company that owns Bayou 95.7. He did a morning radio show in New York City until he lost that job because last year he got arrested. Might have been 2 years ago now, but he got arrested for stealing millions of dollars from a bunch of different clients in what turned out to be a Ponzi scheme. And he did that to pay off his gambling debts. So like this mother in Texas had drug debts she had to pay off, so she'll sell her kids. This radio host of a very popular morning radio show in New York City set up a Ponzi scheme to pay off gambling debts, and he ended up robbing people of millions of dollars. He just got sentenced to 3.5 years in prison on Friday, this past Friday. And, you know, he was making $2 million a year at his job, but he's blaming his gambling addiction, and he was hoping that the judge would look at his gambling addiction and say, well, I can lighten your sentence a little bit because, you know, you do have this disease, this addiction. I thought of that when I saw this horrible story about this 29-year-old mother, Esmeralda Garza in Texas, convicted of selling her 7-year-old son for $2,500, and she was going to sell her 2 younger daughters, ages 2 and 3 as well. Thank God she got caught, and thank God she doesn't have those kids anymore. Those kids should be taken away from her yesterday and given to parents that want children and aren't going to be doing any ridiculousness like that. All right, coming up next, it's our commercial-free ride. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Led Zeppelin there. Got a couple of things here I wanted to get to before we get out of here today. This pregnant mother is facing jail time for letting her 3-year-old urinate in a parking lot. That story was going around over the weekend. A pregnant mother in Georgia who is expected to give birth later this month is now facing a court date for disorderly conduct after she reportedly let her 3-year-old urinate in a gas station parking lot. Well, it's probably cleaner and safer than actually letting the 3-year-old urinate in the gas station bathroom.
That's a good point.
Her name's Brooke Johns. I swear to God, that's her last name. Brooke Johns.
I've known. We had neighbors a couple of houses down when I grew up. They were the Johns family.
Well, if she let her 3-year-old actually go into the John, she wouldn't be making news this morning. She was driving around Augusta, Georgia last Wednesday when her son alerted her, her 3-year-old, he needed to make a pit stop. I got to make pee-pees. I'm quoting the kid here. So the mother, Brooke Johns, says as she pulled into a gas station parking lot, after being unable to carry the child inside, let him urinate outside while covering him. That attracted the attention of a nearby police officer. Okay, so you're an Augusta, Georgia cop. You're still a few weeks before the Masters. So, I mean, it's not crazy there yet. You're probably bored. You know, and you're sitting there, and all of a sudden you see a mother covering her 3-year-old, and the boy happens to be urinating in the parking lot. Well, the cop wasn't going to have that.
Well, I can see if the child was 30, I could see the problem.
The mother said, quote, Brooke John said, I said accidents happen, and he was like, take him into the bathroom. Quote, what if I would have ran in the bathroom and someone had been in there? What was I going to let him do? Pee on the floor of the gas station? So now she's really thinking.
No, wait, she said this to the officer, or this is a recap after the fact?
Said that to the officer.
Okay.
But the officer still wasn't hearing it. No, you can't be covering your 3-year-old in the parking lot of this gas station while he's urinating just because he couldn't hold it. But she's making the right point when she said, well, what if I ran in there with him and there was already somebody in there? Then the kid, he had to go. He's 3 years old. He was just going to go right there.
And the officer said, look, lady, tell it to the judge.
Well, she has a court date now at the end of the month, just days before she is due to give birth to her next child. This is going to be a cluster you-know-what over there in a courthouse in Augusta, Georgia. And the second thing I had here, perhaps you might have saw this over the weekend if you were on social media. Did you see the picture of the four guys standing with the 17-foot-long snake? Did you see that picture? They were standing in the Everglades, the Florida Everglades.
I did not see that picture.
A 17-foot-long female python was pulled from Florida's Everglades last week and was caught after researchers followed the signals of male pythons equipped with radio transmitters. Quote, she is the largest python ever removed from Big Cypress National Preserve, and she was only caught because of research and a new approach to finding pythons. That's putting radio transmitters on them. How fascinating is that? They didn't kill this snake. They just captured it. And they want to capture it, and they don't want to kill it because it's got 70 developing eggs inside of it, the 17-foot snake does. Mind blown. And this is how they catch them. They have a new approach, and it includes using male pythons that have been equipped with transmitters that help lead researchers to breeding females. You know, people always say, Brewster, how many years are we away from all of us having a chip installed in us? People want to put little computer chips inside their kids or things like that. This is what they're doing in the Everglades now with snakes. If they want to go find like massive female snakes about to give birth to 75 eggs, okay, this is what you do. We will put a radio transmitter on a male python, and then we'll just follow that male python. He'll go to where the pregnant, knocked-up 17-foot female snake is. And that's what happened here.
The things you may have saw when you don't have your gun.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff. And that's just about going to do it for the show today. We appreciate you listening. Thank you. Ginty is coming up next. Ginty! He's got your music notes at noon and so much more.
What is the more today? It's more Monday. What is the more? Unspecified more?
You'll probably hear how much Ginty is hurting because today is Monday because of the weekend he just had.
I got you. I'll look forward to that.
And we'll chat again. We'll be back again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.